The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be together. Great to see you on a rainy evening that you're able to make it through the traffic and safely here to the parish. It is always an immeasurable gift to worship the living God. And we worship Him because we have received the same Spirit with which Jesus Christ reigns in glory at the right hand of the Father. The Holy One of God who makes us holy by the imparting of His Spirit. And His Spirit is life. His Spirit gives us Himself. God who is eternal and everlasting life. On this Sunday we are concluding our passage through the 6th chapter of John. A time when the church has invited us for 5 Sundays to meditate on a single chapter of sacred scripture. And we have gone from the multiplication of the loaves. We have heard about the teaching that the Lord is the bread of life, come down from heaven, the true bread, and that His flesh is true food and that His blood is true drink. And that is the scandal of His teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And there were many disciples of Jesus who could not handle that teaching, the teaching of His true presence in the Holy Eucharist. Simon Peter responds, and Simon, the rock on which the church is built, responds for all of us. The faith which is, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and to believe that you are the Holy One of God." The Holy One of God, the title given to Aaron, the high priest in Psalm 106. The one who beholds God face to face. The one who enters the Holy of Holies and is fully consecrated to God, that he might speak the word of truth that consecrates Israel in the truth, which will be the priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. Tonight we also hear from the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, the conclusion of that book where Joshua has conquered all the lands for the Lord. Israel stands in Canaan having conquered all the tribes who oppose the Lord, having received peace with some and conquered others. And now Joshua says, "It's time for you to make a choice. You have been ransomed from Egypt. You have walked through the desert. And now you have the land of the promise and it is given to you. And I make a free choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he doesn't answer for everybody else, my brothers and sisters. The people themselves have to answer. And remembering the good things the Lord has done for them and the identity they have received, Israel professes, "Then we too we will serve the Lord. My brothers and sisters, faith is always given to us in the community of the believers, but it is always a personal choice which calls us to adhere completely to Jesus Christ. It is a faith that calls us to subordinate ourselves to one another out of fear of the Lord, to completely offer ourselves and surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ because we believe and we have come to know that He is the Holy One of God. We walk this path of faith, we walk this journey together, and we are invited to enter more deeply, personally, into the faith that we have received. No one can enter more deeply into the faith on our behalf. There comes a time for each of us when we become adults, when Joshua's words are asked to us, and we have to decide who we're going to serve. Is it ourselves? Is it our own ambitions? Is it another vision of God? Or is it the image of God that comes to us fully and truthfully through the church that He has established and the faith into which we are baptized through the gift of eternal life that comes to us in the church? My brothers and sisters, tonight we also hear from one of the most beautiful passages in all of sacred scripture, from the letter to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter. And those who are in Ephesus, which was perhaps the most learned city of the churches, the Christian churches in Asia Minor. And St. Paul, when he writes the letter, knows exactly what he is doing. You see, the Greek philosophers were known for writing household codes that would teach a man how to be virtuous, how a man was to relate to his wife, how he was to relate as father to his children, and how he was to relate as master to his servants. And there are certain words that were used. And my brothers and sisters, those words are not present in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like you to grow and learn with me as we walk through these sacred verses. The first is that husbands and wives are called to subordinate themselves to one another out of fear of the Lord. Mutual subordination and love of the Lord. Agapao is a Christian verb. It is unique to the disciples of Christ. It was not used by the philosophers. It was the verb reserved for describing Christ emptying of Himself for us. So in that love, and the love that is the Spirit dwelling in our hearts, we are called to totally surrender our lives freely, like the Hebrew people chose, to the Lord God, in Christ Jesus, who is the Holy One. And we also notice that the letter to the Ephesians does not first address men, which in Ephesus would have been a revolution of culture and thought. The household code is a first address to women. Women, to be subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. Now those words might sound harsh, they could even sound oppressive, especially if someone has been hurt by a man. But my brothers and sisters, let us hear them in the newness and in the splendor of faith. And I'd like to ask you a question. Is it a burden to follow Christ? Do we want to follow Christ Jesus? Do we want to surrender our lives to Him? Do we want to love Him? When we start experiencing the joy of following Christ, we start experiencing something of the words that are expressed here. Women, as you receive the Holy Spirit that has made you equal to your husbands before the face of God, love them with the joy of being a disciple of Christ Jesus, with that same love. With the surrender of your heart to Christ, bring that joy and that newness to your marriage and respect Him. And then we will see that 75% of the text, of course, is not addressed to women, but to men. Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That same verb again, agapao. Love them with that self-emptying love that is particular to Jesus Christ. And then he defines it, who handed himself over on her behalf. Also a verb that was specific to the passion, paradidomai. the passion of our Lord Jesus, where He totally offers Himself as an oblation of love for His bride, the church. My brothers and sisters, here too we find the revolution. He's not asking men to be good. He's not asking them to be virtuous or even just. He's asking them to be the image of Jesus Christ, to make an oblation of their lives for their wives as Christ loves us and gives Himself to us sacramentally in baptism and in Eucharist. When husbands start to discover this personal love of the Lord for them and the joy of being loved by Christ and the freedom of freely subordinating themselves to Christ, they start to realize what it means to really love their wives, to be able to give everything the Lord has given them, their capacities, their desires, their hopes, all in the service of love for the one betrothed to them. My brothers and sisters, and then we hear this masterful account, a quoting of Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man leaves father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And if we were a Hebrew people, if we were Greek God-fearers in the synagogue of Ephesus, we would think Genesis chapter 2, of course, that's what Paul's talking about. But he doesn't say that, brothers and sisters. He doesn't refer to the marriage, the natural marriage of husband and wife. He says, I refer to the great mystery. I'm talking about Christ in the church. He's saying the mystery that was hidden from before all time is disclosed, written in our flesh as men and women, which is the incarnation of the Son of God who seeks to marry us, that God may be all in all. And this is why we are God's image. This is why we are created in the image of God who is love. And this is why Christian love and holy matrimony is a sacrament. It is called to be a living enfleshment, the image and the presence, the most visible sign in culture and history of the invisible mystery of Christ in the church. My brothers and sisters, this is a mind-blowing exposition of the sacred scriptures, never before written, never before thought of. And we have it given to us today to help us understand the dignity of married love, the dignity of being the most visible sign in history and in culture of the invisible mystery of the unity of Christ in the church. This is our faith, my brothers and sisters. This is the truth that sets us free. And it is Christ's love for us that inspires us to subordinate ourselves to one another as a Christian family, to serve one another with the operative love that is given to us in the Eucharist. My brothers and sisters, let us follow Jesus Christ. Let us walk the path of faith with vigor and with faith and with hope and with love. Let us set the world on fire with this love. Let it consume our hearts and transform us so all the world can understand what love is, what love looks like, and realizing that we are called to be the living enfleshment, the image and presence of love and mercy itself. Tonight the Lord Jesus asks us a question through the sacred words of Scripture. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My brothers and sisters, let us hear the words of Peter, the same words that we receive by faith. Master, we have come to know and to believe that You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and to believe that You have the words of eternal life, that You are the Holy One of God. My brothers and sisters, this is the truth of our faith, and it is the truth that sets us free.